Now, the honest folk would agree that the only reason you're here today is because of God's grace. Amen, amen. I'm not talking about the self-righteous people. I'm talking about the honest folk in here today who know you don't deserve to be here, but by the grace of God, you're where you are today. Amen. I'm here because of his grace. Amen. Amen. Now, if you've lived well all of your life, that don't mean nothing to you. But I need to talk to the folk who know you hadn't done everything right. But God still saw fit to wake you up this morning. I'm here because of his grace. Amen. And when I look at how holy he is and how hellish I am, I know I'm here because of his grace. When I look back on some things I've done, some decisions I've made, and I'm still able to stand behind this sacred desk, I'm here because of his grace. I'm glad I serve a God that looks beyond my faults and exceeds every one of my needs. Thank God for Jesus, who left his home in glory to come and dwell among men. Amen. Y'all go ahead and play it.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Thank you for saving a sinner like me to tell the world salvation is free. Yeah. There were times when I didn't do right, but you washed over me both day and night. Oh, your grace brought me through. I'm living and I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace
Amen. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. Without it, none of us would be here today. That he loved a sinner like me, a sinner like you. So much so that while we were yet sinners, didn't wait for us to get saved, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a word I want to lift today from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14. Amen. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse number 15. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. When one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs to go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets, to the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, and the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is still room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Right. Amen. I want to talk today from the thought, guess who's coming to dinner? Right. Guess who's coming to dinner? Unless you're over 50, that really doesn't mean a whole lot to you, that subject. But if you're over 50, or maybe if you're a movie nostalgic that loves to look at old movies, maybe you've come across a movie that came out in 1967, starring Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy, and the great Sidney Poitier. Amen. The premise of this movie was that there was a wealthy white family that had sent their daughter off to school, to college, to get an education. That sent her to one of the best schools and expected her to do well and to keep all the principles and morals that they had taught her growing up. One of those being that you don't mix races. But she was coming home for whatever occasion it was, and they had put together a large dinner. And they had invited guests, and they had the best of everything waiting for her to get there. When she showed up with an unexpected guest. And not only was he unexpected, but this was her fiancé that they were going to be married. Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy, they were a white family. Sidney Poitier, if you don't know him, is an acclaimed black actor. They showed up at the door. They knocked on the door. I'm sure she had a key, but she didn't go in. She knocked on the door. And when they answered, to their surprise, their standing was their daughter and Sidney Poitier. She went on to introduce him as her fiance and said that he's a doctor. He has finished medical school. He's successful, and I've taken him to be my future husband. When they sat down to dinner, you could cut with a knife all of everything that was going on and tension in the room. It was so thick you could cut it with a knife, because how dare her bring to our house a black man? And worse yet, she says she's going to marry him. Thus we get the title of the movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Now, in the church, food and eating, sitting at tables in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, has an eschatological meaning to it. For much about Scripture is about sitting at tables, sitting at fellowship, enjoying a feast. Most of the Psalms are written to be sung in their feast. There was the Feast of Bulls, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles. You find them eating and in fellowship. Jesus came eating and drinking, sitting at tables and holding and having fellowship. For food and sustenance, eating and drinking are of eschatological significance. We celebrate. We are members of the Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist Church. We come here on the first Sunday of every month to eat and drink a fellowship meal celebrated by Jesus himself. A reenactment of the Last Supper meal. He said to them, I will not eat or drink until I take it new with you in my Father's kingdom. There's been prepared for the believer a feast. Revelation 19 calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will sit down together at a banquet feast, at a table that has already been spread. He says, come, for all things are now ready. In the text, the master has invited guests to come to an elaborate feast. As a matter of fact, when you read Matthew's account in chapter 22, Matthew tells us even what was prepared for the feast. The fatted oxen, the firstlings of his fruit, everything was in highest readiness. The table had been set. Everything was ready. They had prepared weeks in advance for this feast. It was not something that was thrown together. It was not last minute. It was not thrown together. It was not a spur of the moment thing. Great preparation had gone into this feast. Invitations had been sent. Wedding garments had accompanied the invitation. Everything was in the highest state of readiness. When the servants go to check on the guest list, everybody who had been invited offered an excuse. They offer trivial excuses with everyday preoccupations. The feast had been prepared. It was not thrown together. It was not a potluck supper. It was not leftovers from Thanksgiving. The fatted oxen, the best meats, the best fruits, the best vegetables were already there. The tablecloths, the best dinnerware, the best invitations, gold embroidered invitations. Not only did the invitations go out, but the wedding garment accompanied the invitation. They didn't have to look for something to wear. He sent them something to wear. But they didn't show up. He says, all things are now ready. All you got to do is show up. But they offer trivial excuses of everyday preoccupation. Everything is ready. Come to the feast. Everything is waiting on you. All you got to do is show up. I sent you an invitation. I sent you a garment. Listen, this ain't McDonald's food. This is not Whataburger. Somebody ought to help me here. This is not a Chinese buffet. This is not leftovers. We've got the best meats, the best in delicacies. Everything your heart's desire is waiting for you at the table. All you got to do is show up. But every last one of them invited offered a trivial excuse of everyday preoccupation. One man said, I just bought some land. I got to go out and look at my real estate. Now, what man would buy some land without first looking at it. Brother Love, you're from the country. You know some ground is not good ground. Before I'm going to buy some acreage of land, I've got to go look at it. The next man said, I just bought some oxen to till my field. What man is going to buy some oxen before first examining them to make sure that they have the physical capability of tilling the land? Another man said, I just got married. It's my wedding night. Now, I could almost go with him. He said, I can't go. I just got married. It's my wedding night. I got to see if this is all that they said it was. And they were preoccupied with their own self excuses. And excuses are really dignified lies. When you offer an excuse, you really lied about it. You could come if you wanted to. But you've got something else in its place. Now I don't have to have but a one-point sermon today, but I need you to get this. They did not come because of the land. They did not come because of the oxen. They did not come because of the wife. They did not come to the feast because they were not hungry. And until you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll never be filled. The blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now the Spirit revealed to me that the blessing in the Beatitudes is not righteousness. Righteousness is a byproduct of a precondition. The precondition to righteousness is hunger and thirst. Hunger is a blessing and thirsting is a blessing. And when you get hungry enough and thirsty enough, then the byproduct and the precondition is righteousness. Listen, when we were growing up, and I'm talking in about over 40 here because they don't raise children now like they used to raise them. But when we were growing up, our parents would not allow us to eat junk food before we ate dinner. We couldn't have cookies and candy, soda pop before you ate dinner. You couldn't have freeze pops and ice cream and all of that before you had your dinner. And do I have a witness in here today? They wouldn't let you have all that stuff before you ate your dinner. As a matter of fact, if you had some soda pop, you couldn't drink it until after you finished eating your meal. And listen, it wasn't none of this, I don't like this and I don't like that. If mama fixed it, you ate it and thank God for it. You would sit at the table until you finished your food. They will tell you can't have that because if you eat it now, it'll ruin your appetite. Do I have a witness in here? The table is spread with the best delicacies in the text. And you want French fries? You want a Happy Meal? There's turkey and dressing on the table. There's greens and hot water cornbread. That's purple hull peas, turnip greens, neck bones, cabbage, peach cobbler. All of that's on the table, and you want a Big Mac. God has goodness, mercy, faithfulness, kindness, and you want a man. You want a house. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness. And all other things will be added unto you. Some stuff you eat will ruin your appetite. Don't eat that, Adam. Adam, don't eat that. It'll ruin your appetite. God's got something more for you, Adam. Don't listen to Eve. Adam, let the woman alone. Don't eat that. It'll ruin your appetite. Esau, don't eat that. The blessing is yours, but you're about to give it to Jacob for a pot of stew. Don't eat that, Esau. It will ruin your appetite. Samson, don't eat that. You're a Nazarite. A Nazarite from your mother's womb. You're about to eat honey from a dead lion's carcass. God's got something better for you, but you're about to ruin your appetite. Members of Mount Moriah, don't eat that. Don't listen to that mess on the radio talking about name it and claim it, grab it and claim it, haul it and call it. It will spoil your appetite. that mess on Facebook, that mess on Instagram, Twitter, texting, and all that other stuff. Tell your neighbor, don't eat that, it'll ruin your appetite. That was the wrong neighbor. Tell the other neighbor, don't eat that stuff, it'll ruin your appetite. Listen. Listen, listen, listen. Hunger. Hunger and thirst is a negative. Hunger and thirst suggest lack. It suggests a need. So what Jesus is suggesting in this text is, come to the kingdom empty so God can fill you up. Come to church empty, because if you live for the Lord, listen, if you live for the Lord, Monday will take it out of you. Tuesday will take it out of you. Wednesday will take it out of you. Your children will take it out of you. Problems will take it out of you. Bills will take it out of you. Trouble and circumstances will take it out of you. And by the time you get here on Sunday morning, you come in here empty. Because you've caught hell all week long, and you can't wait to get here on Sunday morning. Amen, to get filled up. But before you leave here, if you came with the right mind, and I don't know about you this morning, but I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I came here to get filled up. Lord, fill my cup. I'm not concerned about my neighbor. Lord, fill my cup. Fill it up. Ain't got no empty folk in here today. Fill it up. Until it runneth over. Don't mean to be nosy, but anybody here today need to be filled? Somebody been struggling with a crazy child. Somebody been taking care of a parent that's got old. You know that time and circumstance will take it out of you. So if you're empty here today, you ought to tell the Lord, Lord, fill me up. The host in the text says, go tell them, go get everybody I invited, because all things are now ready. They refused the invitation because they were not hungry. The trivial pursuits of everyday occupations made them not hungry. The things of this world are temporary and mundane, and if you try to put them in place of Jesus, you will leave you unsatisfied. They refused to come. The master said, all right, go in the streets. They don't want to come, that's fine. Go in the streets, go in the lanes, and bring back some crippled folk. Bring back some poor folks, some blind and lame folk, the folk who didn't get a gold embroidered invitation, the people who don't get a wedding garment. Tell them to come, because all things are now ready. The servant came back and said, Master, it's done, but there's still some room. There's still some seats available at the feast. He went and got some lame folk, some blind folk. I went and got some poor and brokenhearted folk. All of them are at the table, but there's still some room. The master said, tell them there's some more folk out there who need a seat at the table. Said, go get some liars. Go get some people who had a baby before they got married. Go get somebody who's drunk, somebody that's been to rehab. Get somebody that's been to prison. See, some of y'all quiet now, because listen, you want to be in the first crowd with the gold embroidered invitation and the wedding garment, because you think you're better than the poor folk. But how many know nobody's any better than anybody else? Lord said, the table is ready. People at the church don't want it. People look good, refuse it. So go get some folk who know they don't deserve it. Go get some people who know they're not worthy. Go get some people who didn't get an invitation, and tell them all things are now ready. And I'm so glad that I got my invitation. I'm so thankful that he included the poor. I'm so thankful he included the lame, the blind, and the brokenhearted. I'm glad he included ex-drunkards, ex-prostitutes, ex-liars, ex-crooks, and I'm so glad he included thieves, adulterers, because that means I got a chance to sit at the table. Oh, come on, don't y'all act like y'all been good all your life. I just told you the only reason you're in here today is because of God's grace. Is there anybody? No, you're not worthy, but the Lord gave you a seat at the table anyway. If anybody here needs the Lord to fill you up, come over here. The table is spread. The feast of the Lord is going on. Come all ye that are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And right about here, I need the honest folk who know you don't deserve an invitation. But you're here today because of his grace. Then about here, know that he looked beyond your faults and met every one of your needs. He didn't look at your background. He didn't look at your transcript, didn't look at your bank statement, didn't look at your mistakes, but he looked beyond all of your faults. And so your needs. Anybody here know that you got a right to praise the Lord? If the Lord opened doors for you, you ought to help me praise his name today. If the Lord made a way for you, why don't you shout hallelujah? Take somebody by the hand and tell them, I know I don't deserve it. I know I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but thanks be to God, I'm still here. He brought me from a mighty long way. You see my glory, but you don't know my story. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. Listen, I got a seat at the table. I got a seat at the table. When I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my shoes, my robe, and I'm going to shout all over heaven. But before I get there, I'm going to shout right here. I wish I had a witness in here today. Can you get your praise partner and both of y'all shout together? I've got a seat at the table. Have I got over? My soul look back and wonder how I got over. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that God's made a way. I don't know about y'all, but I got a testimony. I think I'm in the wrong house today. Anybody got a testimony today that you can look back over your life, see where the Lord has brought you from, through everything he's brought you through, and you say, I've got a testimony. Your story ain't my story, but I got a story to tell. The Lord's been good to me. The Lord made way for me. Lord's opened doors for me. And I got a seat at the table. Anybody want a seat at the table? The invitation has gone out. The Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would open up, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. The door is open. He says, come on in. I'm waiting on you. All you got to do is accept my invitation. I don't know about y'all, but one Friday evening, I heard the voice of Jesus. Said, son, I've got a better life for you. Oh, Lord. And I decided that I was tired of living like I was living all alone. I tell you what I did. I gave the preacher my hand and God my heart. I said, here I am, just like I am all alone. The Lord said, come on in, just how you are. And I'm so glad the Lord took my red soul all on, dipped it in red blood. I came out white as snow. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I've got to leave you now, but is there anybody here been washed,
in the blood of the Lamb. Is there anybody here been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you've been washed today, you're not mine, your neighbor knowing. If you've been washed today, you ought to stand on your feet, take your neighbor by the hand, say, neighbor, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Neighbor, I've got a seat at the table. Neighbor, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I was bound, but Jesus, he lifted me. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? If you know it's all right, you ought to wave your hand. If you know it's all right, why don't you grab somebody? Why don't you hug somebody and tell them you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Glory. 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 Hallelujah. When I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, I can't help it, my soul cries out, glory. Hallelujah. The table is spread. All you got to do is come in. Anybody need to be filled today? Anybody need your cup filled today? Lord says everything is now ready. All you got to do is come in. Dine at the table. The doors of the church open today. Maybe you came in here empty today. Maybe you've been looking for something to fill what's missing in your life. Jesus said the table is spread. If you need goodness, it's on the table. If you need mercy, it's on the table. If you need love, what greater love? The man that will lay down his life for a friend. Whatever you need today, it's on the table.
Amazing grace.
Would you come?
Shall I?